You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which comes from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us as we bring you today's Way of Truth broadcast. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Everyone who is living a life of sin is bound by sin, the servant of sin. But Jesus Christ came into this world, suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary to make it possible for everyone to be free indeed. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the gospel, the power of the gospel, and we're thankful for the liberty and freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. For he truly has set us free, and we rejoice today in our freedom. We also thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. Wherever this broadcast service is reaching around the world, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will make it a blessing to each and to everyone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Walking in Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, Jesus met a crippled man. On his bed he lay. "Rise, take up thy bed and walk," kindly said he. "Sin no more, lest something worse come upon thee."
"New you are condemned, precious words divine, from the lips of mercy, like the sweetest shine. Wonderful words.
of worshipers, sorry for their sin, was a poor wanderer, rudely brought in. Scribes came and Pharisees, anxious to see what the meek Nazarene's verdict would be. Spoke he most tenderly, "Pray, woman, pray. Hast thou no accusers? Nay, master, nay. Neither do I condemn thee, soul sick and sore. Go forth, I pardon thee. Go and sin no more.
Neither do I condemn thee, precious words divine, from the lips of mercy, like the sweetest shine. Wonderful words of Jesus, Savior, Lord and Lord. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more.
Condemned to die upon a cross, branded as a thief, hung beside the Son of God was his destiny. Nearing death, these words he spoke, "Lord, remember me. This day in paradise with me you will be."
Neither do I condemn thee, precious words divine, from the lips of mercy, like the sweetest chime. Wonderful words of Jesus, sing them more and more. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more.
As he did in Bible times, he still speaks today. If you will confess your sin and for mercy pray, these words he'll speak to you, so sweet and sure. Go forth, I pardon thee, go and sin no more.
Neither do I condemn thee, precious words divine, from the lips of mercy, like the sweetest chime. Wonderful words of Jesus, sing them more and more. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more.
On today's broadcast, I want to speak on the thought, "Be ye reconciled to God." In the thought of reconciliation, we see that there is a conflict, there is a problem, there is difficulty. And, beloved, every sinner, whether he realizes it or not, is at war against God. And, of course, in warring against God, you will never win. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. So there is a conflict going on between the sinner and God. And, of course, the sinner is the one that is in the wrong, not God. God is always right. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But I want you to think with me today on the thought of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." The reconciliation is an important concept. It's fundamental to the gospel of Christ. And this word reconciliation means, in part, that there are two people that are at odds one with the other, and there's something that happens that brings about a reconciliation. What is the nature of the reconciliation between man and God, or God and man? What role might we play in the gospel of Christ as the ministry of reconciliation? I'd like for you to consider these two points with me today. What is the nature of the reconciliation between God and man? And what role might we play in the gospel of Christ as the ministry of reconciliation? First of all, in defining the word reconciliation, Webster's dictionary says, to make friendly again. To make friendly again. To settle a quarrel, or so forth. And Vine, in his biblical dictionary, says, to change from enmity to friendship. To change from enmity to friendship. With regard to the relationship between God and man, the use of this and connected words show that primarily reconciliation is what God accomplishes. And that's the end of the quote. There is enmity between God and men because of man's sin. Again, I say that you, if you're living in sin, you are at war against God. Your sins, Isaiah the prophet said in 59:2, your sins have separated between you and your God. So there is enmity between God and the man because of his sins. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Yet, God has taken the initiative to reconcile man back to himself. And I want to emphasize that thought because it expresses the great love of God. Yet, God has taken the initiative to reconcile man back to himself. God did not cause the separation. No, God did not cause the separation. Yet he takes the initiative to bring about the reconciliation. Because, behold, what manner of love, John said in 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And the scriptures teach us that we love God because he first loved us. If God had not have loved us first, we would never have been able to love him. So this enmity between God and man is there because of sin. Yet God has taken the initiative, the first step, we might say, to reconcile man back to himself. God is not reconciled to man. That's another thought I'd like to emphasize. God is not reconciled to man as though God were partly to blame for the enmity. No, rather man is reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. For it is man who moved away from God. It is man who separated himself from God by choosing to go into sin. Your sins, your iniquities, have separated between you and your God. So it is not God that has to be reconciled as far as his part is concerned, as though he has done something wrong, for he has never done anything wrong. It's impossible for God to do wrong. It's impossible for God to even be tempted to do wrong. So this man, this reconciliation is really on man's part, and yet God has invited him, God has urged him, God has taken the first step to make it possible for man to be reconciled to God. When people need to be reconciled to one another, it normally involves wrong or fault on both sides. More than likely, in most disputes where there's a problem between two people, more than likely there is something wrong on both of their part, and both need to do something to be reconciled. But such is not the case in man being reconciled to God, for God has never done wrong. It is man that has done the wrong, and man is the one that must be reconciled to God. Now, how reconciliation is made possible. It is possible because of the initiatives that God took first. It is possible through Jesus Christ, by His death for our sins, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. So our text of Scripture today says, 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. So God took the first step, as it were. He initiated the reconciliation because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. And let me read that verse again, and please note its contents. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We also read in 2 Corinthians 5 and 31, For He hath made Him, speaking of Christ, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made His righteousness, or the righteousness of God, in Him. Now, let me speak in regard to this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:31, where it says, For He hath made Him to be sin for us. That does not mean that Jesus Christ sinned. There has been some thought of that advanced in the religious world, but that is absolutely false. Jesus Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. And this very scripture tells us that He knew no sin. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So when Paul says, He hath been made sin for us, he simply means that Jesus Christ bore our sins, and He bore them on the cross of Calvary. He did not go to that cross because of evil that He had done, because He did no evil. He went to that cross because He bore your sins and my sins. He paid the debt that we could not pay. As the hymn writer said, All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So God laid upon Christ the sins of us all. Another song says, When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. When He sweat those great drops of blood, as it were, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe it was partly because He felt the load, He felt the burden of your sins and of my sins. And so we can be reconciled with God because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now let us consider for a moment the word propitiation. Reconciliation is possible because God has offered Jesus as a propitiation for our sins. Let me repeat that. Reconciliation is possible because God has offered Jesus as a propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation describes a sacrifice that is designed to appease or to satisfy an offended mind for our sins. Jesus Christ was that sacrifice, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And let me say in regard to that verse of scripture clearly shows that the doctrine of predestination is false. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, and whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. God did not predetermine that certain ones be saved and certain ones be lost. Absolutely not. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This illustrates the great love God has for us and how far He has gone in trying to reconcile man back to Himself. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So we read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Let us now consider the second point. What role might we play in the gospel of Christ as the ministry of reconciliation? God sent ambassadors. God hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have in our text today, 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. God hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In the beginning, the apostles had this ministry. The disciples were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The apostle Paul was sent especially to the Gentile world. He was an ambassador for Christ. He was an ambassador of reconciliation. He went abroad teaching and preaching that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, suffered and bled and died not only for the Hebrew people, but for the Gentile world as well. Through their labors, many others were called for the word of reconciliation, or for the work of reconciliation. So down through the ages, the Church of God has had the commission to carry the gospel, to be ambassadors for Christ, to bring the message of reconciliation to the entire world. And that's one of the reasons why this broadcast is coming your way at this time. It is an effort on our part to help you, if you are not saved today, to be reconciled to God. Ambassadors today, the ministry of reconciliation continues today. Millions or even billions are still lost in this sin-cursed, sin-sick, sin-benighted world. And God still loves those who are lost, and Christ died for them. Again, I emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ did not die for a select few. God did not predetermine that only a few would be saved. I know the Bible teaches that there's few on the straight and narrow way, but they're there because of choice, and those that are on the broad road are there by choice. For the Scriptures teach us in Hebrews that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And that very favorite Scripture of many, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," that's the world of people, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." So the message of reconciliation is for the billions of people that are in the world today. Who are God's ambassadors today? Yes, His ministers are. But is it limited to just ministers? What about individuals? Faithful Christians who have been properly taught, they can teach others these things that thou hast heard of me, Paul said, among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. In fact, all Christians should be involved in one way or another in the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You can pray for the lost. You can give to the work of God for the spread of the gospel. There are various ways. You can give your own personal testimony. You can be a witness for Christ. Yes, every Christian should be involved in one way or another in the ministry of reconciliation. How important is the ministry of reconciliation? God gave His only begotten Son, and His Son gave His life, so that we could be reconciled to God. To me, that proves it's important. God did not give such a precious gift for something that was of no value. Every soul is valuable. Every soul is loved by God. Every soul can be reconciled to God. Reconciliation is available to all, but you must respond to the call. Now then, we are as ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And that is verse 20 of our text today. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. If today you are not a Christian, we would urge you to seek the Lord with all of your heart and be reconciled to Him. For He has taken the first step, and if you will be reconciled to Him, then come to Him with a broken and a contrite heart, repent of and forsake your sins, and He will be faithful and just to forgive you. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that the thoughts that we have brought to you have been a blessing to you. And if you are not saved, let me encourage you to seek the Lord and find peace to your soul, for God is willing and ready to forgive. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. If our broadcast is a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. Our postal address again, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. Also, we invite you to visit our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. Among other things, you'll find a number of our broadcasts there, and also a number of our monthly Way of Truth magazines. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. We invite you to tune in when we come your way with another Way of Truth program.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner but God in His goodness has let me return to share with His children this lesson I learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Oh. loves you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises sent of control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but slowly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Cost you far.